Hi. Gosh, but that's a perky way to start a show, isn't it? I mean, jinkies. Doesn't get much better than a nice Irish jig. Well, maybe it can, but not for this episode. Speaking of which, I know I've done a lot of stuff on stupid stuff on the show of late, but that's only because everywhere I look, I see more of it, and it's very nice to share. So come on, let's do that. Thing number one for today is a good one, bit of a fave of mine as well, like they all aren't, right? It's time for Off With Their Heads. I love this because it feels so real. Sheboygan police arrested a woman after she allegedly left her two children in a freezing car for 20 minutes while she went tanning. The 27-year-old woman was arrested after two people spotted the children, ages 23 months and 10 years, in the car, the police department said in a news release. The vehicle was locked, but not running. Officers responding to the scene Wednesday evening were approached by the children's parents. The father met the mother at the tanning salon and was arguing with her about why the children were in the car, police said. The children were dressed warmly, but they had goosebumps from the cold, the release said. They did not require medical attention. The temperature at the time was 12 degrees, with a wind chill index of about minus 2 degrees. The woman could be charged Friday with two counts of misdemeanor child neglect, police said. She said she was going on vacation and felt that the tanning was a priority, Lieutenant Jeff Johnson said Friday. Me? I think she's a self-centered, amoral, idiotic, irresponsible, and stupid B-word. And she needs her head chopped right off. That's what I say. Red-faced officials at Canada's nuclear safety watchdog on Thursday said they were probing how a hacker had managed to litter its official website with dozens of color photographs of a nuclear explosion. The Ottawa Citizen newspaper said that every media release on the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission's website had been labeled as a security breach on Wednesday. When opened, each document had a headline reading, "For immediate release," and underneath was a large photo of an exploding atomic bomb. "We are in discussions with the internet service provider. When we were informed that the website had been tampered with, we immediately disabled the media module," said Commission spokesman Arl Gervais, dismissing the suggestion that the hacker had been able to access secret information. The external website was the only website that was tampered with. There was no internal information that was compromised, he said. The media site at http://www.nuclearsafety.gc.ca was working normally last Thursday. The Citizen, which published a color photograph of one of the tampered pages, said the hacker had left a message saying, "Please don't put me in jail. Oops, I divided by zero." I would say something sarcastic and witty here usually, but this one has reduced me to a mere, See what they did to me? It's not fair. The former Citizen of the Year in Derry, New Hampshire, pleaded guilty on Friday last to stealing more than $250,000 from the nonprofit agency she led. Police accused former Derry Economic Development Corporation chief Cheryl Crawford, 58, of taking the money and gambling it away on the internet. She also stole from the Derry Depot Square Holdings, a subsidiary for the Economic Development Agency. Crawford faces up to 10 years at the New Hampshire State Prison. She must also repay the agency and spend 100 hours talking to the public about the dangers of gambling. I bet you $5 she cheats her way out of it. But she can't cheat the E-Reaper. Ooh. Okay, y'all. It's time to meet your maker, even if only figuratively. Step up here, stupid mom, you dumb bee. Canada and its hackers, you nuts. And Cheryl, you thieving, gambling, pathetic mess of a former person someone found worth a damn. Come here and let me chop your fool heads off. Anyone got a wet nap? I have to get this stupidity that's splattered all over off of my hands so I can end this thing. Thing number one for today.
Here, hold on. Here, are you ready?
Yes. Our grandiloquent word of the day today is verbivore. It is a noun, although as an adjective it is verbivorous or verbivorian. It is pronounced verbivore. It is spelled V-E-R-B-I-V-O-R-E. It is defined as a person who devours words or a verbivorous animal, one who finds nutrition or sustenance in words. I like that thought. In fact, I do it all the time. Devour, that is, not just think about it. I have always wanted the entire human race to improve its collective vocabulary. It's my dream. Hey, don't poke fun. Some people dream about stupid stuff. Used in a sentence for you. While carnivores eat meat and herbivores eat plants, we verbivores devour words. That's what it feels like sometimes, like I'm devouring words with my brain. Hence, this segment. It's nice to share. For more fabulous and glitzy terms like verbivore and such, please check out the Grandiloquent Dictionary online. You can find a link to it on the homepage of Three Things. That's the number three, the word things, .podomatic.com. Thing number two. Are you trying this whole dating online thing out there, anyone? Because if you are, and if you're hoping for Cupid's online arrow to hit you, then watch out for tall stories and wide fabrications coming at you fast and furious. Because a new study says online daters, both men and women, usually, not occasionally or sometimes or rarely, but usually, fib about either their height or weight and sometimes their age. Using a new method that measured the actual difference between profile information and reality, the study revealed that men systematically overestimated their height, while women more commonly underestimated their weight, said Jeffrey Hancock, an assistant professor of communication at Cornell University and the lead author on this study. Surprisingly, age-related deception was minimal and did not differ by gender, he said. About 52.6% of the men in the study lied about their height, as did 39% of the women. Slightly more women lied about their weight, 64.1%, than did men at 60.5%. Is it just me, or are those percentages of liars pretty gigantic? When it came to age, 24.3% of the men were untruthful, compared with 13.1% of the women. Researchers examined four popular dating websites where users create their own profiles and initiate contact with others: Match.com, Yahoo Personals, American Singles, and WebDate, according to a press release. Study participants, users of these websites that is, were recruited in New York City through advertisements in the Village Voice and Craigslist.com. The final sample included 80 participants, equally divided between genders. After collecting information about the participants from their online profiles, the researchers measured each person's height and weight and obtained their age from driver's licenses. What constituted a lie? For height, the discrepancy had to be greater than half an inch. For weight, the deviation had to be greater than 5 pounds, and for age there had to be a difference of a year. The results? A higher percentage of participants lied about their weight than either their height or age. In fact, for almost two-thirds of the participants, weight was incorrect by 5 pounds or more. Hancock said that social research abounds on how men and women use different strategies for finding love. In general, men seek youth and physical attractiveness in a partner, while women look for the ability to provide as well as indicators of social status, such as level of education and career. The pattern of lies, frequent but slight, suggests that deception in online dating profiles is strategic. Participants balance the tension between appearing as attractive as possible while also being perceived as honest, Hancock said. Since the study was completed, online dating sites have changed. They now inquire about general body types rather than request information on a person's specific weight, but the basic tension of trying to appear as attractive as possible without having a deception detected still applies, he said. The study, by Hancock, Cornell doctoral student Catalina Toma, and Nicole Ellison, a Michigan State University assistant professor, will be published in an upcoming Proceedings of Computer-Human Interaction, that'll be in April. That magazine is an annual peer-reviewed journal. It will be released this spring during a computer-human interaction conference in San Jose, California. I don't know exactly why someone would lie about themselves on a profile online, but apparently they do lie. A lot. And it's so crazy. It isn't like when you meet that person in the real world, they aren't going to see that you're fat or bald or a munchkin or a giantess or just a big fat liar. It's easier, I suppose, to lie these days behind the wall of anonymity that the ether provides us. Just like people that pick their nose when they're in their car. We can see you. One of those things that happens now, I guess. Just like me, ending this thing number two, for today. And now for the TDIH, This Day in History. Boy, was the whittling difficult this week. Just oodles of neat people were born and died, and oodles more super neat stuff happened on this day, February the 16th, throughout history. For starters, these very interesting people were born on this day in history. In 1075, Ordericus Vitalis was born. He was a French monk, historian, and poet. 1514 saw the birth of Rheticus, the Austrian astronomer and mathematician. He has a crater on the moon named for him. In 1698, Pierre Bourget, another French guy and another mathematician, was born. He invented the heliometer, used for measuring short interstellar distances. And in 1740, Giambattista Bodoni Saluzzo of Italy, printer and typeface designer, was born. 1866 saw Johann Strauss of Austria born. He was a composer, you know, the one responsible for waltzes. In fact, he was known as the Waltz King. In 1903, Edgar Bergen was born in Chicago, Illinois. Then, in 1957, LeVar Burton was born in Landstuhl, Germany. He was Kunta Kinte in Roots and later starred in the sci-fi show Star Trek Next Generation. And appropriately enough, in 2335, Geordi LaForge will be born. That's LeVar Burton's character on Star Trek Next Generation. It's kind of neat how they do that. As to deaths on February 16th, in 309, Pamphilus von Caesarea, a Palestinian scholar who became a martyr, was beheaded. And in 1600, Giordano Bruno was burned at the stake for his views of the Catholic Church. Bruno answered his sentence of death by fire with the threatening, "Perhaps you, my judges, pronounce this sentence against me with greater fear than I receive it." He was given 8 days after that to see whether he would repent, but it was of no use. He was taken to the stake, and as he was burned and dying in the fire, a crucifix was presented to him, but he pushed it away with fierce scorn. In 1834, Lionel Lukin, pioneer of the lifeboat, died. 1907 saw the death of J.C. Carducci, 1906 Nobel Prize-winning poet. He wrote Inno a Santana, or A Hymn to Satan, in 1865, for which he was considered to be a, quote, notorious praiser of Satan. And in 1992, Abbas Mousawi, leader of Hezbollah, was assassinated. Historically interesting on this day, in 374, the ninth recorded perihelion passage of Halley's Comet occurred. And in 600, Pope Gregory the Great decreed that saying, "God bless you," is the correct response to a sneeze. 1659 saw the first known check. It is for £400. That check is now on display at Westminster Abbey. In 1771, Messier presented his original list of 45 M objects, that's features in space, to the French Academy. In 1824, Athenaeum was founded. It took until 1838 for Kentucky to pass a law permitting women to attend school under conditions. In 1840, American Charles Wilkes discovered the Shackleton ice shelf of Antarctica. 1857 saw the formation of Gallaudet College, that's the National Deaf-Mute College, in Washington, D.C. In 1878, the silver dollar became legal U.S. tender. And then, in 1923, Howard Carter discovered the tomb and remains of young pharaoh Tutankhamun. 1946 saw the first commercially designed helicopter tested in Bridgeport, Connecticut. In 1956, Britain abolished the death penalty. 1959 saw Fidel Castro name himself Cuba's premier. That, of course, was after overthrowing then-president Fulgencio Batista. In 1961, China used its first nuclear reactor. In 1965, Pegasus 1 was launched to detect micrometeors. And then in 1972, Wilt Chamberlain hit the 30,000-point mark during a game with the Phoenix Suns. Oh, and then in 1991, Jenna received her Valentine's Day chocolate 2 days late. I remember that. And so, boy, there we are. One heck of an interesting day, this was. I sure hope there are more. And thing number three, continuing with today's theme, stupidity, that is, check out this little bit of a reading. Here are some funny and quirky, well, kind of pathetic, really, snippets of calls to the service line of a computer company. The actors are Customer, played by Clarissa, and Tech, played by Jadara, who's been on the show before, doing slow motion. You'll have to go back in the archives and look for that. It's very good, very good. And Kaliana as our helpful announcer.
Customer.
I keep getting inappropriate pop-ups on my computer, and I don't want my wife to think that it's me.
Advisor, I will remove them for you.
Customer.
How do I get them back when she's not in?
Advisor.
Press any key to continue.
Customer.
I can't find the any key.
Customer.
My mouse mat isn't wired up.
Advisor.
I'm not sure I understand. Your mouse mat shouldn't have any wires.
Customer.
Well, how does it know where my mouse is? Is it wireless?
Customer?
I met a man on the internet. Can you give me his phone number?
Advisor.
Ugh.
Advisor?
You have spyware on your machine, which is causing the problem.
Customer.
Spyware? Can they see me getting dressed through the monitor?
Customer?
How do I change channel on my monitor?
Advisor.
Your monitor won't have channels like a TV.
Customer.
But I was watching the internet channel the other day, and now I just got the word processing channel.
Advisor.
Can you click on my computer?
Customer.
I don't have your computer, just mine.
Customer.
My 14-year-old son has put a password on my computer and I can't get it.
Advisor.
Has he forgotten it?
Customer.
No, he just won't tell me it because I grounded him.
Customer.
My iPod will only play one song.
Advisor.
Which other tracks have you downloaded from iTunes?
Customer.
Do I need to download tracks?
Customer.
Me family in Australia use BT cell phone video. I can see them, but they can't see me.
Advisor.
What brand is your webcam?
Customer.
Hey, what's a webcam?
Okay.
It's like hey, an thank Australian.
You thank you very much, Bill. Yes, you were wonderful. Thank you very much.
I want to hear it. Well, I want to hear it. Fixed yet.
I hate
this is boring.
Hey kids, tired of G-rated fun? Ready for some real action? Get the Turbo Porno Blaster from Nintendo. Makes any video game or home computer instantly X-rated. Just plug it in and this...
You've got mail.
...becomes...
That lady got no clothes on.
Get the Turbo Porno Blaster from Nintendo and leave the kid stuff behind.
This, folks, is a true story. He was happy. His girlfriend and he had been dating for over a year, and so they had decided to get married. His parents helped them in every way. His friends encouraged him, and his girlfriend, she was a dream. There was only one thing bothering him, very much indeed, and that one thing was her younger sister. His prospective sister-in-law was 20 years of age, wore tight miniskirts and low-cut blouses. She would regularly bend down when near him, and he got many a pleasant view of her underwear. It had to be deliberate. She never did it when she was near anyone else. One day, little sister called and asked him to come over and check the wedding invitations. She was alone when he arrived. She whispered to him that he was soon to be married, and she had feelings and desires for him that she couldn't overcome and didn't really want to overcome. She told him that she wanted to make love to him just once before he got married and committed his life to her sister. He was in total shock and couldn't say a word. She said, "I'm going upstairs to my bedroom, and if you want to go ahead with it, just come up and get me." He was stunned. He was frozen in shock as he watched her go up the stairs. When she reached the top, she pulled down her panties and threw them down the stairs at him. He stood there for a moment, then turned and went straight to the front door. He opened the door and stepped out of the house. He walked straight towards his car. His future father-in-law was standing outside. With tears in his eyes, he hugged him and said, "We are very happy you have passed our little test. We couldn't ask for a better man for our daughter. Welcome to the family." The moral of this story is, always keep your condoms in your car. I wonder if there were some higher power watching that guy at that moment. I wish I had been it. Talk about blind luck. Well, that's all I have for this show. Come back in 2 weeks, two Fridays from now, on March 2nd, for more of Three Things. I was your host today, Jenna. I promise I shall stay that way. I also promise to come up with new and exciting ways to tickle your brain or your funny bone or incite your anger or passions or just find a few good ways to while away a few minutes of your time in as interesting a fashion as I am able. In the meantime, don't forget that there are 7.5 billion people on this planet, but you are the only you. So take care of that special bundle of you-ness for me while we were apart. Chuck yourself on the chin like I would if you get to feeling down. Make yourself look in the mirror like I would do. And remind yourself, as you do look into that mirror, to forgive yourself and be happy. Good day.